forth your Son in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Oh, Lord, what a tremendous truth this morning that we are, can be called the children of God. Though we don't deserve it, you give us the blessed privilege of being adopted into your family by the power of the cross and the blood that was shed for you and for me. Father, I thank you for each of these that have gathered this morning. And I pray, Lord, because I know you have a word for each of us this morning, that you would speak deeply into our hearts. And Lord, as we talk about this incredible prayer that Isaiah prayed, that it would stir our hearts to pray prayers like this for our church, for ourselves, for our city, our state, our nation, and even the world. For how our world desperately needs to see children of God living out the truth of the gospel that has changed us, that we have the incredible privilege of even being called a friend of Almighty God. So, Lord, would you speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you invade this place? Lord, as we'll read in just a moment, that you would rend the heavens and come down and move in power. And in truth, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Isaiah chapter 63? Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 7. Last week, we spent time talking about a man by the name of Josiah, King Josiah of Old Testament days. Tremendous king who served God in his time. And we talked about that he was a person that God will use. And this morning I want to stop and talk about, in the second in this series, and this series of Lord Use Me, is the prayer God will answer. The prayer God will answer. Sometimes we wonder, what kind of prayers am I supposed to pray? How am I supposed to pray? When am I supposed to pray? What kind of prayers would be the kind of prayers that I know that God would answer? And so here Isaiah gives us a tremendous example of that kind of a prayer. And we're going to look at it in just a moment in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7. We'll look at it together. Really, we have to ask this kind of question. If we're going to be like a Josiah, we have to be men and women of prayer. What is needed in our country, what is needed in our churches, what is needed in our lives, which for some reason becomes so difficult, and that is to be a people and a church of prayer. Folks, I got to tell you, God has done a tremendous work. As I drove into the parking lot this morning, I was talking to my mother and wishing her a happy Mother's Day. And I drove in the park and I said, Mom, it's hard to believe. It's hard for me to believe that I was driving in this parking lot for the very first time a year ago today. Drove in not knowing what to expect. A lot of you weren't even here yet. There were 201 people in the building that day. It was a huge number for us that day. And I began to reflect, what has the Lord done in the last year? Well, we've talked about it a little bit, and I won't belabor it, but the Lord has added 104 people to our blessed church family that were not here this time a year ago. God has added to us financially and blessed us in tremendous ways to do some things that we've been needing to do for a long time. Many of you paid that price, and to see the lights come on the fellowship hall on Friday was just a tremendous thing. For me personally, to see it come to fruition, knowing the many of you that have been dying to see that happen. I told the electrician that was here, I said, hey, listen, I want to see when the lights come on. He said, well, I'll turn them on and I'll call you when they're on. I said, no. I want to be there in the moment, like when God said, and there was light, I want to see it for myself. Okay, all right. Well, they turned them on to start with, and it wasn't wired just exactly right. They made just one little cross wire, and it made this big loud buzz. Lights flickered in the office, and I walked in there. I said, see, I told you. I wanted to see it. The preacher said it. I wanted to see it turn on. So I got them, and they turned the lights on. It was a beautiful thing. What has God done? God has done tremendous things, but I just want you to take notice. This is not a moment of fear in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but I want you to hear me carefully. Sometimes we get rested and think, wow, look at what God has done. Oh, we can take a deep breath and kind of sit back and relax, and I don't have to really... I need to come, but I don't have to be so worried now, because if I miss, somebody else might be there. And sometimes we're not careful, we get kind of lulled to sleep. But I want you to know and recognize this truth. And that is this, that not only has God taken notice of what is happening, for it is God who has authored it, it is God who is completing it, and it is God who will finish it. Amen. Thank you for helping me so much. No doubt about it. I'll just help myself. No doubt about it. It is God who has done it. It is not you. It is not me. It is what the Lord has wrought in your life and mine. And how have you shared the story of what God is doing in your life, and you invited others to come? But God has taken notice. And we've got to pray prayers like Isaiah prayer, because I want you to know this to be true. Not only has God taken notice, Satan also has taken notice. And he will not stand idly by and watch a church that was close to the brink of closing its doors to be a lighthouse in its community a year later. Satan will not stand by and say, well, you guys go right ahead. He will do everything in his power and his ability to destroy this church, to break it down, to not let it be unified together. He will bring small little problems here and small little problems there, and talk amongst the members and things to come against this church family. And so if you dare think for a moment that we can just sit and rest and think, wow, look what God did last year, we can just kind of do the same thing. Folks, we must get on our knees more than ever before for God to continue to move here. I met a lady who was over here and runs a store back over this way. And the man that runs the store, his mother used to be a member here. And they go to a different church. And she said, well, you know, she said, you're the preacher at Petah First Baptist. I get that so often. I must look like I'm 12. I don't know. I don't know. I look really young. And so people are kind of amazed by that. And I said, well, I'm not as young as I look, I guess. Thank you for saying that. I would turn 42 this year. Praise God. And so I oh, really? She said, man, I drive by that church. She said, and there's like people fighting to get a parking place. It's like Walmart, fighting to get a parking place. I've never thought about that before. There's cars there. It's full. Which I just smile and I just say, God, I just got to tell you what God has done in the life of Petah First Baptist Church, in the life of this preacher, in the life of its members. We must pray prayers like Isaiah, so that the Lord's work can continue. And this is not some prayer that we pray and we pray it every day, or we pray some kind of a checklist kind of a prayer. Because remember, prayer is not about changing God's mind. Sometimes we think prayer is about changing God's mind. Well, if I get God and I pray long enough, God will do what I want Him to do and do what I ask Him to do, so therefore it'll work out really great. So I'm going to pray this kind of prayer. Folks, I want you to know what prayer is for. Prayer is to get us on God's page and God's agenda to accomplish His will. That's what prayer is for. So that as we pray the heart of God, that we'll pray the kind of prayers God would have us to pray. We find it right here in Isaiah chapter 63. I'll read verse 7 through 14, then we'll look through some of the rest of these verses here together. So let me invite you to stand in honor of reading God's holy and precious word and this tremendous words of Scripture here. Let's stand together and let me read these words to you this morning. Isaiah, the great prophet, says this, I shall make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He has granted them according to His compassion and according to the multitude of His loving kindness. For He said, surely they are My people, sons who will not deal falsely. So He became their Savior. In all their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His mercy, He redeemed them and He lifted them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and they grieved His Holy Spirit, and therefore He turned Himself to become their enemy. He fought, this is God, God fought against them. Then His people remembered the days of old of Moses, where He who brought them up out of the sea with a shepherd of His flock. Where is He who put His Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Who caused His glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for Himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths like the horses in the wilderness. They did not stumble as cattle which go down to the valley. The Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So didst Thou lead Thy people to make for Thyself a glorious name. Father, I pray You'd speak to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice some things quickly about this prayer and maybe a kind of prayer that you could pray to the Lord, the prayers that that God will answer. God says, if you seek me and search me, you will find me when you search me with all of your heart. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. And these things will be given unto you. When we seek the heart of God, not for what we want, but we pray the heart of God, God, help me to have the kind of heart you want me to have. As we'll talk about at the end of this Jeremiah, this last selection here really echoes this kind of a prayer that we need to be praying. I want you to notice the first thing that Isaiah does in what he prays. Number one is this, is to remember God's faithfulness. To remember God's faithfulness. When we're praying sometimes, we're so quick, like I've said before, I think, when I've been here, and that is this, sometimes we treat God like a bank teller. Many times we have no clue what the bank teller looks like. We don't know what he or she looks like, but I guarantee you all of us know what their hands look like because we're watching as they count out that money, making sure they're counting out the correct amount. But sometimes we're not careful. We treat God like that. We're making sure that he doles out those blessings. We're focused on his hands and not his face. And we forget the incredible things that God has done for us. Here Isaiah remembers several things. He talks about remembering God's loving kindness. We just sung about that, God's loving kindness, that we are called children of God, that we can be called the friend of God. We remember God's great love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's loving kindness. When you pray, remember it and tell God, because God already knows, but we're reminded as we pray, God, I remember your loving kindness to me, a sinner. Secondly, I remember God's goodness. Let me ask you a question, church family. How good has God been to you? God has been so good to you personally. God has been so good and gracious to us as a church family. God has been good to you and to me. Amen? God has been good to you. Not only has he been good to you, remember that he is our Savior. I love this appearing in Isaiah. The word is capitalized, the word Savior. You see, the idea of Messiah, the word Savior, was not a new idea when Christ came on the earth. It was an idea the Israelites, the Jews, were expecting a Savior to come. One that just like had rescued them and saved them from the hand of Egypt. He would come again. When you pray, we thank God for being our Savior. We thank him for our salvation. We praise him for the day that we found Christ as Savior and as Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one who has redeemed us from the pit of darkness. Not only as we pray, we're reminded of our sin. We're reminded of our sin that cost our Father his only Son. We're reminded of our sin. Here, as it is written here, Isaiah is reminded and reminding the people of their great sin. That they had wandered away. They had wandered away from that which God had taught them, which God had led them to, that God had warned them about, that God had disciplined them. And so when we're praying, I'm called to remember and to confess and to repent of my sins. And remembering God's faithfulness to forgive those sins. Not only that, I remember God's power. Can you remember God's power on display in your life? A moment when God's power was mightily moving in your life and a situation or circumstances that you thought there was no answer, no hope, no help, and God's power intervened in a miraculous way. We remember those moments that God's power is more than any other, that in the moment of creation, that other song that we sang, that before time was ever created, God's power was on display when he created with the spoken word, with the snap of his finger, with the thought of his mind, the world came into being, and so did you and I. And lastly, as he remembers God's faithfulness in this part of the story, he says, I remember God's giving us rest. Anybody feel like you're ever hurried or busy? Feel like, you know, I could use a rest here and there, or maybe you just feel like you're rested all the time. Anybody feel really rested, would love to have say, I could have taken 4 hours less sleep last night. Matter of fact, my life's so relaxed, I may just take off 5 days this week. Might even go to work this week, so rested. Wow, is right. That's exactly right. Rested. See, God gives us rest as his people.
Listen, if you're a child of God, you ought to be rested. Now, I don't mean that you necessarily feel physically rested, but in a spiritual sense, you should be at a place of rest because you're in the hands of Almighty God, of His goodness, of His loving kindness, that you are forgiven of sin, that He is your Savior, that He has redeemed you. So as you're praying, remember God's faithfulness. Secondly, as you're praying, respond honestly. Respond honestly. Sometimes, and I know Dee from time has calls folks and asks them to pray, and sometimes we get the statement, sure, I'll be glad to. Other times, I can't pray in front of somebody. I don't know what to pray. And that's a fair thing. Sometimes we might get nervous. We don't want to speak in public or pray in public. And as I always remind people, when you're praying, you're not praying to us. You're not praying for us. You're praying, and we're just praying along with you. Sometimes we think we have to be pretentious to the Lord and we pray a certain prayer. We could have to pray a certain way, like certain words or certain things we're supposed to pray. Listen, God wants us to pray honestly. Never more moments than when we're at our lowest moments are we then more inclined to pray honestly. God, this is where my heart is. This is the way I feel. Here, Isaiah in verses 15 and 17 and 19, he says this, look down from heaven and see from thy holy and glorious habitation, where is your zeal and your mighty deeds? The stirrings of your heart and your compassions are restrained towards me. Why, O Lord, listen to what Isaiah says to the Lord. Why, O Lord, do you cause us to stray from your ways and harden our heart from fearing you? Return for your sake, for your servants, the tribes of your heritage. I mean, Isaiah is saying, God, you're hardening my heart. Now, we know in the essence that's not true in the sense of that, though God did allow their hearts to be hardened because they had turned from Him. Listen, be honest in your praying. Don't sugarcoat it. Because here's the thing, remember, God knows what you're thinking anyway. Why don't be irreverent? Folks, it's not irreverent to be honest with God. God loves an honest, open, transparent heart. A heart that is not stagnant. A heart that says from time to time, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, why? Lord, I'm needy. Lord, I'm helpless. Lord, I'm a mess. Lord, why did this happen? And on the list can go, but respond honestly in your praying. Remember God's faithfulness. Respond honestly. Thirdly, notice this, recognize Him as the Lord. Verse 16, Isaiah says, for you are our Father. And we use the word father, that usually is a term of respect. We don't often say and go to us, call somebody and say, oh, father. Right? And we call it Happy Father's Day, but we call somebody dad. So the idea of father is an idea of respect. The word I would insert here would be also the word Lord. So I'm teaching my boys to understand, as my father taught me, and that is this, is that love equals obedience. And so I'm praying and I remember Him as Lord, and I'm saying that He is on the throne, that God is in control and I am not. And that I'm yielding to His call in my life and His desire and His direction and His plan for my life and not my own. And what a release that can be, by the way, to recognize Him as Father. Fourthly, notice this, what are we requesting of the Lord? Oh, I love these four verses. These are tremendous. What am I requesting the Lord to do? Listen to what Isaiah prays. Listen to the passionate plea of a prophet's heart towards his people. And listen to what he says. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence, as fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence, when you did awesome things which we did not expect. You came down, the mountains quaked at your presence, for from of old they have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen a God beside you. Oh, that we would pray these kinds of prayers, dear church family. I have to believe, and I don't know if it's true because I haven't done the research to know, but I wonder if Isaiah is not remembering good old prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, or 2 Kings rather, 17 and 18, some tremendous scriptures there, where Elijah, he stands against the prophets of Baal. You remember this story? Oh, it's one of my favorites in Scripture. I love this story. If I had time, I'd tell it all, but y'all aren't listening fast enough, so I don't have time. So as a result, we'll have to do it later. Let me just tell you this much. God does amazing, extraordinary things in Elijah's life. When he asks, he says, God, I want you to show your power, show your truth, show it that the rest of the world may know that you are still God. And God sends down the fire and burns up the sacrifice, burns up, boils up the water, and it evaporates. And all of a sudden, the people of Israel and all those watching go, there is a God in Israel. Oh, that our nation would see and our city would see and our county would see that there is a God that is still on his throne that lives amongst his people, and there are Josiahs that are willing to stand and rise and pray a prayer. Oh, God, that you would rend the heavens and come down. God, would you part the waters, part the seas, part the heavens, and come down. Do those kinds of works that you did of old that we've heard about. Do them once again. By the way, when great movements of God ever happen in this world, let me tell you what happened. People began to pray. People began to pray. Something we don't often make time enough for. We're in a hurry. We don't pray enough. I'll just tell you, one of my heart's desires, and I know our praise team, they pray every morning before they start, but I would love for some of you to begin to have a burden to pray, and some of you begin to be praying about a prayer ministry in our church. I've been a part of churches that have a prayer ministry, and they have people that sign up and pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's some that sign up and say, you know what, preacher? I believe the prayer is so important, so powerful. There were people that would go in the back. My church in Alabama, I didn't ask. They just said, hey, do you mind if one of us a week goes back in the back and prays for God to move in the service? And of course, as any great preacher would say, oh no, you can't go pray. No. Need you right in here in the worship service. I'm like, what room do you want? Of course. Pray. Pray that God would rend the heavens and come down. Secondly, pray for God to do something for the glory of his name. Father, for your name, Isaiah 6:8 says, for your name and your renown, your fame, your honor, your glory is the desire of my heart. Is that the desire of your heart? Make the request. And when we make that request, we need to do this other part, and that is this, to remain with him. The word wait. Now, all my kiddos in Upstreet, look at me right here, all my kiddos in Upstreet. Look up here. What are y'all talking about in Upstreet right now? Anybody know? Tell me. Say it out loud. Being patient, right? The word is in your scripture verse. Anybody know your scripture verse from this week, this month? Anybody know it? Matthew, you know it? Can you say it for me? Do you mind? Can I come over here and let you say it for me? Do you mind? Can you say it for me? Say it for me. Go ahead.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Do not lose hope. Wait for the Lord. Psalms 27:14.
Very good. Psalm 27:14. Did you hear that? Oh, that's good. Thank you, Matthew. Wait on the Lord. How many of you love that verse? Oh, come on now. Did y'all hear my other part of the prayer? Respond honestly. We don't want to wait on the Lord, do we? We want God to do it yesterday. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. Be strong. And he says it a second time because we didn't get it the first time. Wait on the Lord. We need to wait in him. Be patient. Don't be weary in doing good. Don't quit praying. Don't stop believing. Some of you, listen to me. Some of you over the year of 2010 and 11, you thought, where is God? What is God doing? Yet you continue to pray. You continue to wait on the Lord. And look what God did. Amen. Mercy. I need Mount Vernon back with me. That would have been, they'd have stood and applauded right there. Thank you, David. Others of you. What do? We got to continue. Rejoice in doing righteousness. As we pray that we would rejoice in doing righteousness. The Bible says, verse 5, thou, you meet him who rejoices in doing
righteousness. The kind of prayer that God answers comes from a person whose heart is right before the Lord. Not perfect, but right. Righteous. How am I righteous? I'm righteous only because God, through His Son Jesus Christ, makes me righteous. It's not what I do. It's not what I say. It is what God does in me. And the kind of prayers that God answers are those of Josiah's, those that are men and women of God who stand firm and who pray and who rejoice in doing righteousness. Notice these last three. Remember the Lord in their ways. Remember the Lord in their ways. What does that mean? It remembers this. Listen to me. It remembers that as you're on a field and you're doing something in the band, you're doing something in a show choir, you're playing a sport, or you're doing an athletic activity, you're doing cheerleading. If you're at work, if you're at home, if you're at play, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Remember the Lord in all that you do. The last two, repentance brings revival. Listen to what it says. Listen to Isaiah's heart. This is true of us. Listen, this is true of us. Behold, you were angry, for we sinned. We continued them in a long time. And shall we be saved? Oh, could that be said of our nation today, dear church family? For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garments. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who arouses himself to take hold of thee. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the power of our iniquities. What does he mean right there? Here's what he means. From a righteous person who's walking with the Lord comes these lips. Isaiah was walking with God and he says, we have sinned. We will have to point the finger at our nation and say, boy, you've messed up, world. You've not done this, world. You've not done that, world. We'll have to point our fingers at others and cause the blame for the problem. But listen, the problem, this answer, the solution starts with us. When we take ownership in where our nation is, where we take ownership in where our world is, it is on us. It is on the church of God. The Bible says in more than one place that judgments start with the church of God. Repentance, true repentance, biblical repentance brings revival. A brokenness over our sin that has hurt a holy God. And lastly, this as we close this morning, release control. I left it to last because I like it the least. Listen to verse 8 and 9. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. All of us are works in your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look now, all of us are your people. Jeremiah the prophet echoed these same words in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 1, where Jeremiah said these words. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. Says this, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter, so he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot it or to pull it down or destroy it. And if that nation against which I have spoken turns from evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring upon it. Folks, you and I need to release control of our lives. For things to go like we had planned. There's some of you this morning, let's just be really honest. Mother's Day is a hard day. For whatever reason in your life, things didn't go the way you had scripted in your life. I was talking to my wife yesterday. My mom was here for the weekend and left. And I told her, I said, you know what? Life just sometimes isn't fair.
You ever felt like that before? And of course, the great parent answer to give is, well, son, life just ain't fair. Right? We've all heard that. I said, you know, babe, it's just not fair. I wish my dad was still here. I'm glad he's in heaven, but I wish he was still here. It's just not fair. Why did he have to have cancer? And you know what? As a Christ follower, I'm called to release control and say, oh, Lord God, I am the potter. I am the clay. You are the potter. Mold me and shape me and make me into what you would have me to be. And sometimes for that to happen, difficult things are going to come into my life that God will use for his glory and honor in ways that otherwise would never have happened. Would I change things in my life? Oh, yeah. Would you? Oh, yes. But let me say something to you with all the love I can muster so I can say it to myself. Who are we to say to God, I don't like it to go this way. Lord, you need to do it this way. What is the clay to say to the maker? You make me this way. That's where we let go and say, Lord God, here I am. Now, for some of us, that's a scary prayer, because if we really pray that and mean that, listen to me. Listen, that means some of us are going to have to change our ways. If we really are serious about praying this prayer right here, and I hope you take this home with you and keep it in your Bible all week, and as you pray this week, you would pray these kinds of prayers. Are you holding on to something this morning that you can't let go of? The Lord is waiting. He is the potter. We are the clay. Mold us and shape us after your will. Let's pray together. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we wrap up this morning. Some wonderful ways to respond to the Lord this morning. And for each of us, these will be different. Maybe this morning, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, the Lord is dealing with your heart. Maybe you've never found Christ as Lord and Savior, and you can't call Him Father because He's not your Heavenly Father. But the great news about this morning is this, is that you can trust Him as your Savior and as your Lord. You can make the most important decision. Maybe you're here with your mother. Maybe you are a mother. And no greater decision to make on a Mother's Day than to become a Christ follower. And I encourage you this morning, if you've never admitted you're a sinner, ask Him to forgive you of all of your sins, believe that He was the Son of the living God, confessed Him as Savior, and committed your life to Him as Lord, you can do that very thing right now in that pew where you sit, in that chair where you sit. You can do it right there. You can come grab Charlie and I by the hand and say, I want to know how to be a Christ follower. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Maybe this morning you need to come and join this church family and step over the line and say, yes, we're ready to join this church family. We're ready to be a part of helping answer the prayer that's being prayed, that God would use us and rend the heavens and come down. And how He does that is He does that through people like you and me, being a part of a church family just like this. You need to be a part of that. There are no orphans in the kingdom of God. We're all called to be a part of a family of God. So I encourage you this morning, if you're already a Christ follower, you want to come and join this church family, you can do that today. Maybe for others of us, Christ followers, we need to be a people of prayer more than ever before. And that God has really burdened your heart to pray. Maybe this morning, today, is a challenging day for you today. And I want you to know something from my heart. When your heart breaks, the heart of God breaks with you this morning. And He loves you. And I have prayed this morning that God would absolutely overwhelm you with a measure of His grace that would pour out in your life. Father, I pray this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit that we would respond to you and what you call us to do, to put feet to what you're calling us to do. What you've done in our heart privately, we'll take care of publicly. We'd be sensitive to those around us, to pray for those that might be hurting this morning, to love on them, to encourage them. Father, to come and do what you're calling us to do, whether this is at this altar, whether it's to come and take Charlie now by the hand, or this is to sit there in our pew, in our chair. We'd be obedient to you right now, I pray, as we sing together, just as I am, without one plea. Let's stand together.